In the Gospels, there are many passages in which people or groups of people approach Jesus with a question. Not long ago, we had the Pharisees asking a question about divorce. Not long ago, we had them asking a question about paying taxes to Caesar. Yesterday, it was the Sadducees asking about the resurrection. Seven brothers who all married one woman. And there are others. But very often the intention of the questioner is not to find out something from Jesus, but to try to catch him, trap him in his speech, make him look bad, make themselves look good, make him look like he's violating the Sabbath or something. So when the scribe in today's gospel approaches Jesus, our natural reaction is, oh, here comes another one. That's not Jesus' reaction. It doesn't say that in the gospel. But you can imagine the human reaction would be, oh, man, another one of these, you know, duplicitous, tricky questioners. Now, in Matthew's gospel, and maybe in Luke's, I can't remember, but this scribe is described as someone who's trying to catch Jesus. But in Mark's gospel, no. Mark presents this scribe, who asks about the first of the commandments, as a man with purity of heart, with right intention. Someone who would welcome getting some wisdom from Jesus, and who at the end of the gospel, Jesus describes as being not far from the kingdom of God. Which is very high praise coming from Jesus. So this scribe doesn't fall into the pattern of those who are against Jesus. Maybe we could say something like, at the beginning anyway, the rich young man. Remember, we read that passage recently too. The rich young man came and asked Jesus a question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" The problem with the rich young man wasn't that he didn't have a good intention. His problem was that he had attachments. He was not free to love. But this scribe, he loves this answer. Jesus gives the answer, the beautiful, the profound answer about love. What's the first commandment? Love God. First of all, and the Jews knew this, as Jesus quotes straight from the Old Testament, straight from the, I think it's from Leviticus. I can't remember. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." That's the first thing. If anyone wonders what they're supposed to do with their life, the first answer is love God with your whole heart. And then he adds the second. He always puts them together. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the commandment, the greatest commandments are both to love. Just not even 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the solemnity of the Most Blessed Trinity. And we reflected on the inner life of God. God is a community of love. He's a communion of love, a family of love, a perfect interpersonal communion of love. All love. It's at the root of this commandment to love God with your whole heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's a reflection of the love of God himself. I think it's beautiful, too, that this gospel comes right before the Feast of the Sacred Heart and the Feast of the Immaculate Heart. Because we're talking about hearts, right? Hearts. Jesus says, love God with all your heart. That symbolism of the heart is used right here. With all your heart. When we see an image of the heart of Jesus, we realize, if we understand the artwork, It's It's a heart that's all love, that's all gift, that's all fire. It's a complete gift of God. You see, this gospel is a good preparation for tomorrow and Saturday. Love. Love God and love your neighbor. Now he throws in there, not just love your neighbor, but love your neighbor as yourself. So a proper understanding of love includes a proper love of self. Because if we hate ourselves, and the commandment is love your neighbor as yourself, we say, well then, if I hate myself, then I hate my neighbor too. And that does happen. In fact, it happens often that the rejection of some part of ourselves becomes a rejection of others. If you know psychology, some very common in psychology for people to point out that what we find irritating in others, or what we can't stand in others, or what we just dislike in others, is very often something in ourselves that we hate seeing reflected back to us. So we do have to love ourselves, and that's normal. Love your neighbor as yourself. The scribe, who's not far from the kingdom of God, repeats back to Jesus with affirmation. I always find it funny when he says, "Well said, teacher," as if the scribe is the one giving the report card, and Jesus is the student. He gave the right answer. I think I've used this description before. Every year I have this annual physical exam. It's done by the diocese. And every year a group of doctors goes to the diocese, and then they see all the priests and the employees of the diocese. And there's this little interview you have with the doctor, you know, what's your medical history, what about your family, what diseases have you had, what surgeries have you had, and they write it all down. And then 2 weeks later they send you a report. The report says all the things that you told the doctor. So it's always funny to me. Oh, that's, you know, I could have just written that down myself, but instead they wrote it down, put it in their computer, and sent it back to me. So and I should say, oh, well said, doctor. That's exactly what I said. But actually, the scribe doesn't simply repeat word for word what Jesus says. He repeats it, but then he says, this love that you described, this wholehearted love, all your mind, all your strength, is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Jesus didn't say that. Not in this context. The scribe said that. So you can see he's assimilated Jesus' teaching and integrated it into his training as a Jew, that one way of expressing love for God is with burnt offerings and sacrifices. The old law is full of burnt offerings and sacrifices, and insofar as they were in response to the will of God, they were good. But love surpasses all these sacrifices. And that's a good insight. That's why it says Jesus saw that he answered with understanding. Yeah, he understands it. Teachers know this. If the student simply repeats word for word what he heard in the classroom, but that's all that means is that he has a good memory. But if he says it with understanding, the teacher knows, well, this student has taken it in and integrated it into his own life. You're not far from the kingdom of God. No one dared to ask any more questions. Okay, that would seem like all you have to say. Now that we know this is the greatest commandment, and the second, and that's more important than burnt offerings or sacrifices or any ritual fulfillment of the law, no more to be said. And in a certain sense, yes, once you have love, no more to be said. Once you have the Sacred Heart, no more to be said. But, of course, we have to do what this scribe did. We have to take this instruction and then personalize it. Integrated. One of the difficulties in this commandment of love is that when we're suffering or we see suffering in the world, but especially when we ourselves or our loved ones are suffering, it looks to us like God is not love. And then it becomes hard for us to persevere in love because we're complaining about injustice. I mention that because I want to go now to what St. Paul says to Timothy in today's first reading. Now, remember, when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, he was in chains. He was in prison. And one of the concerns of Paul in writing to Timothy is, don't be ashamed of my chains. He said that in yesterday's reading, and I think he says it again today. That my being in chains is not a reason for your faith to falter. It's not evidence that the gospel isn't true or that God isn't faithful or that God doesn't love. No, don't misunderstand it. Because our model is Jesus Christ, and he suffered. Right? He was in prison. He who is the perfect embodiment of the love of God, the perfect representation of the Father, he suffered. So if we're going to follow him, we shouldn't be surprised when we suffer, and we shouldn't take our suffering as an excuse not to love, or as a proof of the limits of God's love. No, not at all. So this is what he says in this passage. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Remember Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. We'll be doing that tomorrow, the Sacred Heart. Remember what is revealed in the Sacred Heart. All love. Burning love. Such is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Love is not chained. And our response of love is not chained. We can love God with our whole heart, and we can love our neighbor as ourselves, even when we're suffering, even if we're in prison, even if we have illnesses, even if we have troubled relationships, even if the world is falling apart. See, it's not chained. You can still love. In fact, it's even more important to love when we're not being loved in return, because someone has to insert the witness of love into this troubled world. Someone has to be a disciple of Jesus. Someone has to remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And if we don't, well, how are other people going to see him and know him? So then Paul quotes this little saying, if we have died with him, we shall also live with him. Death doesn't stop the love of God. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. Persevere in suffering, persevere in love. Love of God and love of neighbor. If we persevere in following the commandments, we reign with him, because to love is to reign. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He throws in that twist because God is all love. He's never unfaithful. He doesn't break the covenant. He's not like us. He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He cannot be anything other than all love. So remember that, Paul is saying, and he's telling us, remember that. Remember that. That the commandment of love remains valid all the time. Because God loves us all the time. He cannot do anything else but love us. He cannot deny himself. So that's what I take from this readings on the commandment of love, which I say which says it all. But then we need to take that commandment and figure out how to live it, and how to persevere in it, and how to give witness to it in the unique circumstances of our own lives. And St. Paul is a great, great witness and example for us, because he himself loves with his whole heart, and he loves his neighbor. And he tells us, don't be unfaithful. But even if you are, God will still remain faithful. So our confidence is not in ourselves, but in God, God who is love.